Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Thanks again for joining us this weekend. We're especially glad you joined us if you don't consider yourself a church person or religious person. And if you are new or relatively new to our parish, we have a free gift to thank you for being with us today. Simply text that word welcome to 410-216-5534. Thanks again for your flexibility too, for moving the message to the end here after Mass. We made that decision because Father Michael and I were working on this book deadline. And I like to say this, if it wasn't for me, a book would never get started. If it wasn't for Father Michael, it would never get finished. So it's a good partnership there, but he does all the real heavy lifting when we kind of get to this deadline for our publisher. And so that's what we were facing this past week. So I jumped in here. The book's coming out in the fall. It's based on a series we did a few years ago called When God Doesn't Make Sense. It'll have a different title than that. But so stay tuned to learn more about that in the months ahead. Well, this is the second week of our series, Where Do I Start? And last week we said this, that you cannot wait to get your life back. You need to take it back. And the best way to take back our life is actually to step back and to examine our priorities. And so that's what this series is all about. It's great to examine our priorities too, because so many people are feeling overwhelmed right now. We're overwhelmed by the events in our world. Many people are overwhelmed by just having so much to do right now between juggling work and family and teaching your kids at home. And so you're overwhelmed in that way. Some people are overwhelmed because so much has been taken away and they don't know what to do. But examining our priorities and putting them together will help us to move into 2021 with clarity and confidence. To help you in this series, we're giving a little bit of homework each week. Now, someone told me recently they don't like the word homework. I guess they didn't do very well in school. So if that's you, that's okay. Don't call it homework. It's a tool to help you go deeper in setting your priorities. So last week, the tool was just we gave you 10 priorities, 10 different areas of life, and asked you to prioritize it 1 through 10. And at the end of the message, we're going to give you a little bit more homework or an assignment to help you go deeper into the message. And again, obviously, the more work you do on the series, the more you're going to get out of it. So today, looking at, before we get to that homework, I want to look at the importance of our identity in setting and keeping our priorities. Our identity is how we see ourselves, the lens about how we look at ourselves. And it's so important when it comes to identify our priorities and living out of them. And there's a lot of talk about identity in our world today, and there's even, I think, a lot of confusion about that. But the more we can anchor our identity in Christ, the better off we will be. And that's what I want to talk about today, anchoring our identity in Christ and seeing our priorities through that lens. Now, if you are a student, middle school student, high school student, college student in your 20s, I think this is an incredibly important message, because that's really a lot of times where we're dealing with identity. And if the sooner you can settle that kind of issue and sooner settle it in Christ, the further, faster you will go in your life. But this is just not a message for younger people. It's a message for all of us, because all of us can grow to understand our identity in Christ and, again, find two benefits from that. To look at that, we're going to look at a passage from the Gospel of Mark. Mark is my favorite gospel because it's the shortest. Actually, it's not the only reason. I love how the action in Mark moves so quickly and so fast. I love how Jesus is portrayed as one having authority. It's, you know, in that song Champion today, we talk about that. That Jesus is just looks so strong and powerful. The action moves. And I love Mark's style of writing. He is brief, direct, and to the point. And I like that style of communication. A few years ago, I took a personality test called the DISC. And the DISC test talks about one of the things in your personality, how do you like to receive communication? And so I brought this report home and I showed it to my wife, Mia, and I was sharing it with her. And we got to that section about communication. And it said, Tom likes his communication brief, direct, and to the point. And Mia started laughing. She's like, that is absolutely you. And so if you're like me, if you have that same personality and you like your communication brief, direct, and to the point, I'd encourage you to read through the Gospel of Mark. Now, here's what Mark says about Jesus's identity. It's not working. That's what you were trying to tell me. All right. Luckily, we got a plan. No, we don't. Do we have plan B? All right. So here's what Mark says about Jesus. Here's what we do. No, we don't. All right. Here's what Mark says about Jesus's identity. And he anchors it by saying, Jesus Christ, here's the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So we learned a couple things about Jesus' identity. The word Christ was the Greek word Christos, which has a royal authority. So Jesus is the King. And then it goes on to say, Jesus is the Son of God. In other words, Jesus is the man. So Mark gives us this lofty identity of Jesus. And then he continues to talk about the lofty identity of Jesus. But first, he introduces us to the character of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was wildly popular. He was so wildly popular that many people started to think that he might be the Messiah. In fact, we talked about this before Christmas. Emissaries are sent to John the Baptist to say, are you the Messiah? And he says, no. But then John says this in the Gospel of Mark. He says, one is coming who is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. Right? I mean, that would be kind of like, you know, you go to Michael Jordan or LeBron James and say, you know, what's it like to be, you know, such a great basketball player? And they think, you think I'm a great basketball player? You should go see such and such person play basketball. Or going to Aaron Rodgers, what's it like to be such a great quarterback? And Aaron Rodgers says, no, you think I am great? You need to see so-and-so play quarterback. Or it's like Joe Weaver, who is our guitarist here, awesome guitarist. We're like, Joe, what's it like to be such a great guitarist? And Joe says this, you know, you think I'm a great guitarist? You got to see such-and-such person play guitar. I am not even worthy to carry his guitar case. John the Baptist says, you think I am important? There is one coming who is mightier than I, who I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes. So Mark sets up this very lofty identity of Jesus, which makes the next verse in Mark so confusing. Because then Mark goes on to say, and give us more about Jesus' identity, and says, Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized in the Jordan River by John. Nazareth. Jesus is from Nazareth. Nazareth was a podunk town in the backwater of the Roman Empire in the middle of nowhere. When one of Jesus' other apostles said, followers found out that Jesus was from Nazareth, he said, Nazareth, what good could come from Nazareth? And then it says this about how Jesus was from Nazareth, and he's baptized in the Jordan by John. And that doesn't make any sense, because the reason you were baptized was to admit you were a sinner, to admit you had something wrong with you, admit you needed to change. If Jesus is the Son of God, he has nothing wrong with him. Why is he being baptized? Well, Jesus is baptized because he's identifying with us. Jesus identifies with us. He's 100% God, but he's also 100% human being. And he identifies with us through coming as a human being by his birth. He identifies with us on the cross by suffering and dying. And he identifies with us here at his baptism. And because Jesus identifies with us, we can identify with him. We can find and anchor our identity in Christ. And as I said, that comes with two benefits. And those two benefits are found in Mark's gospel. And here Mark tells us this, that as Jesus comes out of the Jordan, the heavens are torn open and the Spirit comes down like a dove. And then the voice of God the Father says this, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The voice of God says, "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased." The first benefit, calling God the Father, is that in Christ, you're the beloved. Anchoring in Christ, you get to call God Father. That's the first benefit. You are the beloved Son, the beloved daughter of your heavenly Father. Being the beloved constitutes the core truth of your being. You get to call God Father. Now, the image of Father, it for you, it might depend on your experience of your father as a kid. For some people, the experience of the father was an amazing experience. When their father came home, it was a time of celebration. You think of your father as inviting into a life of adventure or fun. You think of your father, even though when maybe he disciplined you, he was challenging you, but it wasn't because he was trying to punish you, but because he wanted you to be a better person. Other people have different images of their fathers, from, you know, being absent to worse. And for most people, their image of their father falls somewhere between hero and zero. But no matter what experience you had of your father growing up, here's what all of us desire in the bottom of our hearts. We all ache, we all long for the perfect father. And we have that in our heavenly Father. And this is so important. This is so important when it comes to our priorities, that we understand that we are the beloved. Because as we understand that we are the beloved sons and daughters of our heavenly Father, it shows us that our lives and our values, they have worth simply in that relationship. And so many people get their priorities out of whack because they're trying to prove in some way that their lives have value and worth. That often the pursuit of power or popularity or possessions, behind it is a desire to show, hey, my life has value, my life has worth. If I can get this much power, if I can get this high on the chain, if I can get this much authority or have this much success in business or in government or church or somewhere else, if I can get to that position, then my life will have value. And then they misappropriate their priorities. So many people, again, it's for some people, it's possessions. If I can get this size house, this cool car, make this much money, this much, if I have this much, then my life will have value. For others, it's going to be popularity. If enough people like me, if enough people follow me, if I get enough followers on social media, then it'll prove that my life has value and purpose. But your life has value. Your life has worth. Simply because you are the beloved. Now, and it's also important for us with our priorities because it means we are not all alone and on our own to make life work out. Again, a lot of times we think if it's going to be, it's up to me. And especially if you're in charge or have responsibility for some other people in an organization or your family or whatever, you feel like, hey, the weight of the world is on your shoulders because if life is going to work out, if it's going to be, it's up to me. But that's not true. In Christ, as the beloved, you are not all alone and on your own to make life work out. You can live your life in partnership with your heavenly Father. This is such a freeing concept. In baptism, and in the renewal of baptismal promises, this question is asked, do you reject sin so as to live in the freedom of God's child, as a freedom as God's child, as God, of God's children? There's freedom in knowing we are not all alone and on our own. We are the beloved. And so we can set the priorities of our lives based on that truth, that fact. That's the first benefit of anchoring our identity in Christ. The second benefit is that we have the power of the Holy Spirit to live out those priorities. When at Jesus' baptism, we're told the heavens are torn open, they are ripped open, and the Spirit comes down upon Jesus like a dove. In Christ, you have the power of the Holy Spirit to live out your priorities. You know, in the world today, I think there's a lot of kind of bad spirit. There's a spirit that's trying to get some bad things on us, some fear and anger, shame, anxiety, doubt, worry. And in some ways, even there's a spirit of this world that's trying to promote those things as a virtue, as if you have them, somehow you're more virtuous. Let me say this clearly. Fear and shame, anxiety and worry and doubt, they are products of sin. They are a result of the fall. They are a result of original sin. And they have no part in God's kingdom. And they have no part of your identity in Christ. Now, here's what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that we won't experience fear or shame or doubt or anxiety or worry or anger in this life. Of course we will. But they're not who you are. And that's not the spirit that God has given you. God has given you a spirit of power. God has given you a spirit of wisdom and understanding and knowledge to live out to understand your priorities. He's given you a spirit of courage and power to live out those priorities. That's who you are in Christ. And the more we anchor our identity in Christ, the more our lives will reflect the power of the Holy Spirit. So, as I mentioned in the beginning, a little bit of homework this week, or tools to help you go deeper into the message. And to do that, I encourage you to go to our website, churchnativity.com, or go on to the Nativity app, and to begin to look at your priorities of life and to relook at them in a fresh way through the lens of being a Christ follower, of anchoring your identity in Christ. And then as you do that, to go ahead and begin to personalize each of those priorities, or I like to say life accounts. A life account is just a place where you deposit energy and time and resources into that account. It's kind of like a bank account. You put time and energy and resources into it. You put money into it, and then you need to monitor its growth and its health. Only this is about different areas of your life. So, for example, let's see if I have this. Charlie brought it up. Yeah, great. I have 10 life accounts. So, and these are my priorities in life. And so I go ahead in person. My first account is my God account. So that's number one for me, because it reminds me I am a beloved son. That's first and foremost who I am. My second account is self-care. And that's what I put second. And some people might argue with me, why is that number two? Isn't that a bit selfish? Well, I really believe our ability to lead and love others will fall to our ability to lead and love ourselves. Number three is, so those kind of first two accounts are kind of like circle of being, or about just who I am. From there is a circle of kind of relating, my primary relationship. So next for me is my wife, Mia. And then after that is my kids. That comes next to my priority. Now, if you're a parent, you probably want to put that order in a similar way. For my kids, I got 8 kids. They're all one account in my life. So if you have just one child, you might want to just put that child down. If you have two, maybe put both their names in there and, you know, list the one you like better first and then the next one. Obviously, no, you love your kids all differently, but you love them all the same. Next, then, I put my work world in my priority. So from there comes Nativity. My work here is associate to the pastor. Then Rebuilt, which is our work to help other parishes. And then writing, because I write. And then next thing out of there, my priorities, my finances, my house, because it's my work that enables me to have money and to to, you know, take care of my house, friends and family. And then finally, I added this week, American citizen. And I actually had added it before things on Wednesday, but I have just kind of this growing identity of, or feeling I need to figure out where that is in my priorities and to begin to live it out. So those are my accounts. What I would encourage you to do this week, again, is use the website or our app to name the priorities in your life. And then as you do that, and this is on the app or on our website as well, just to put in there, how healthy is that account, or how full is that account? Are you flush? Is it full? It's really healthy and good. Are you comfortable, but maybe you'd like to make a little bit more deposit in there in some way through 2021? Or is it, hey, you're broke, and this is something you really need to pay attention to? Because this is going to help us to see where we should prioritize going forward in the year ahead. So that's the tool to use for this week. Now, if you want to go even deeper, we're going to be holding a workshop on January 20th, beginning Wednesday, January 20th. It's going to be a four-week workshop. It'll be hosted by myself and my coach, David Makala, who helped me put together a life plan and think through a lot of these things I was talking about with you today. You plan your vacation, you plan your retirement, plan your life. And a life plan is simply a way, again, a document that helps you organize your life and understand what is most important to you. And that workshop will be January 20th. If you want to sign up, you can go to our website, churchnativity.com, and it's under upcoming events. And again, it's going to be a Zoom meeting, 7 o'clock on Wednesdays, beginning January 20th. Your identity, how you see yourself, it's such an important lens in which you will view your priorities. It will help you establish your priorities. Anchor your identity in Christ. Because in Christ, you are the beloved. You are loved by Almighty God. In Christ, you have the power to live out your priorities. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. We thank you so much for these words of Mark to remind us that we are the beloved, that we are your beloved in your Son, Jesus. God, we thank you for being that. We thank you for that honor. We thank you, God, for sending your Spirit upon us. Help us to live our lives with the Spirit of power and courage and wisdom and understanding. Help us to live in the power of your Holy Spirit. We pray this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.